Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Soul Sisters, everybody. I'm your host, Jesse Katz, reporting to you live from the dog days of summer in New York City, where life is disgusting and I'm a puddle of sweat. But it's okay. We will make it through, as we do every year. It never feels like we will at this point. This is the tough time where you kind of just want to lay down and give up, but we shall not. We shall persevere. And episodes like this help us do it. Today's guest is the amazing Domino Kirk. I was super excited to meet Domino because I'm a big fan of her family's, actually. You may know or may not that Domino is the oldest sister of Jemima Kirk of Girls' Fame and Lola Kirk from Mozart in the Jungle, among other things. And those two women are also amazing artists in other ways, and Domino is the same. She's someone who has a million creative, soul-satisfying things going on, and music was the first, and now she's returning to it. She has a new album coming out in August, which is gorgeous, and you should all check it out when it comes out. And she stopped by to talk to us about it and tell us why she's decided to come back to music after being signed as a teenager by Mark Ronson, and how she's incorporated this into her life, among all the other beautiful things that she does. And she's just a really lovely soul to spend time with. So here it is, Soul Sisters with Domino Kirk. Domino, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Thank you for coming here. So you have a new album coming out in August, correct?
Yes.
So is this like a moment of doing a bunch of press or the beginning of a long here you'll do it in drips
no,
and drops?
No, it's the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's just the beginning.
So you're learning how to talk about the albums?
Yeah, though? And just talk in public.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing. Singing is one thing, but speaking is another.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I feel like you're such a multi-hyphenate personality and talent that I would assume that you're good at all sorts of performative things, but I guess just speaking off the cuff is a whole nother animal.
Yeah. Like charming banter on stage, my thing. Yeah. I don't have an instrument to tune with this particular outfit, which always helps, but yeah.
Do you plan it out? Like, do you think about you just...
It's awful.
Yeah.
I just look at one of my bandmates. I'm like, just say something.
Just like tell an embarrassing story
just
about each
joke,
other. Just
a terrible joke will suffice.
Yeah. Are you going to be performing? Like, do you have dates lined up? Or
we have some tours that we're looking to that are coming together right now in Europe.
Oh, in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, and some shows here too, but a little bit more sort of spread out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what happens with the other business when you go into music drive?
Well, the other business sort of runs itself at this point, which is why I was able to finally make a full-length record and not an EP. Because EPs were like short and quick, you know, they didn't take long to make, and you know, you can only do so much with four songs,
right?
And then, but it was nice, and I was getting my feet wet, but I also had this kind of other baby that I was raising.
And
now literal baby.
Literal baby.
Literal baby and
business. And business
baby. Let's just say you're a doula.
I'm a doula,
created
yes.
a business.
Yeah. So we have a collective, like a community center that we started like 5 years ago, and I've been a doula for 8 years. And it was sort of the way I was able to afford, like, being on call. There was always big gaps of time where I could be creative in between. I was like, either I'm going to, like, take another job, which will completely deplete me from, and I wouldn't creatively, I'll be like done.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was going to find something that I could do in between. And doula work actually was like the perfect blend of like being able to be sort of service and like in the healing arts and like not be like a debaucherous musician.
Is that like, what you felt like you were?
And I was never debaucherous, okay. But I saw that I could very well be.
Yeah.
I also grew up in like a family where my father was in a rock band and like I saw and heard every story and like really.
So you knew about the debauchery. It was there. Yeah.
No, the debauchery in the 70s too is like a whole other
thing. Yes, another level.
So I think I always knew that I would want to have some sort of cushion or some other like safe zone that would like keep me grounded enough so that I could be like a respectful mother and like, you know, not be that mum that just sort of hires a nanny and like goes on tour for like 5 months.
Right.
Which I could be. And I know plenty of like amazing parents that have to do that.
Yeah. Right,
but
sure.
To have the choice was really great. So I really created a career where I could have both.
And see, that's a dream.
They do exist.
It is a dream.
So that's you're living the dream. I mean, we just met you, and I know everyone's lives are complicated. But what you're doing professionally and creatively is like...
Not that either one of us would be comfortable being in that field.
No.
But be surprised. We've all been born before, so we all know how to be there when someone is giving birth. I tell that to all the train. We train doulas now. And so that's sort of... I'm not really on call anymore, but I'm training doulas, and that's really easy to schedule. And like, it makes it so I can actually have some semblance of a music career. You know, we have these 20-year-olds who are like, I haven't had a kid, but how, you know, but I want to be a doula.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you are at all in touch and you were born because you're here, you know, you're going to be able to do this. It's just about being more present than you've ever been.
Right.
And just
meaning you think that we can still access something from our own birth,
Oh, that's a whole other podcast.
I know, I'm sure we could get into it.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a doula podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. Can we do that?
We'll do a spin-off. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no music involved.
You can sing us a little song about
that. Yeah,
I'll
sing. I do sing to the women in labor. So,
really?
Or
do
people
you?
In labor, yeah. Oh, sometimes amazing. They like their hair brushed.
Yeah.
They like a song to them. Yeah, whatever.
I have a question. We're obsessed with your whole family, and we're very much big fans of Well, Lola in particular, we're huge Mozart in the Jungle fans, and she's like the best.
Yeah.
And I know that she's also a musician, and she has an EP out recently, right?
Yeah.
You were the musician first before her, right?
Yeah. I'm 8 years older than her.
Okay.
So I was like.
So you were doing it.
I was doing it when she was a little bean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she kind of get into it through you?
I mean, she would hate that I would say that.
It's okay.
But Lola, like in her own right, of course, like learned how to play every instrument like over the course of a year, and like just had the time. And I joke with her. I'm like, I had a kid at your age. Right. You have time to like go on road trips and learn how to play guitar.
Yeah.
I wish. You know. So she's. I don't know. She's really worked hard to be able to be like a multi-instrumentalist. Like she really can just pick up the bass, pick up the guitar and play like
pick
a great set of music. Yeah. Set of music. And the oboe. She can't play the oboe, but she's an amazing air oboist.
Right.
Is that the word? Oboist?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, she was always acting in school and she was in musicals and she had a band in college.
Okay.
And I always knew that she was like, you know, gonna like try to, you know, pull it together. But the timing was great after Mozart.
Right.
You know, she was more well known as an actor. And now she, you know, she has a fan base.
Right. So were you giving her advice as a musician?
Not really.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Just like we play such different music. Her music's a lot more sort of, it's just like country and sweet. And mine's just a little more, I don't know, it's a little sadder, a little like just more, I don't know. They're like little art pieces.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
They're very intricate, very lyric heavy. And like, you don't really remember the hook.
Right.
You know?
Has your music always been that way or has it evolved into that?
No, it's sort of all, I tried to do sort of this other thing when I was signed to Mark Ronson's label years ago. But
like
that
the
was
pop thing?
The pop thing, like the sexy girl thing.
How did that feel?
Awful.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, wear the right outfit and get just drunk enough, you know, and like stay after the show and like just flirt enough with that they maybe would write something. And it just felt, I felt kind of awful all the time. But yeah, the songs weren't mine either, so I wasn't writing them, which also, of course, felt a little bit just very insincere. Like performing, I learned how to perform when I played with Domino, the band, and touring, and like that was something I had no skills in terms of like touring and just like turning on for an audience.
Right.
So I was always just like no high heat. Like I would wear like no shoes and just stand there. And sometimes I'd cry and like really just like sort of like a bleeding heart on stage. Before I joined the band, because I would just play like Pete's Candy Store and Joe's Pub. I was like 16 and like playing like singer songwriter song. You know,
but songs. It didn't feel good. Yourself?
No, that was great. And then Mark saw me perform with my friend Jordan, and he signed us. And he was like, now you're going to do this. And I was like, oh, like, okay. And it didn't last. I ended up falling in love with a bluegrass musician and who I met in the subway.
Really?
And, like, got pregnant, moved to Virginia, started playing a washboard. It was really fun. I had a baby and stopped playing music for a few years.
So in that relationship, it wasn't a musical interaction?
It was. With the
bluegrass.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. He played banjo, and in order to play with him, I either played spoons or a washboard. So it was musical, and I wrote and I sang. But it was nice to get away from sort of like
high heels
and Us magazine.
So, right. But what was that decision exactly? Was it I'm gonna follow love because this doesn't feel right?
It was more. It wasn't like conscious. Yeah, It was pretty unconscious. I just couldn't see myself go. Like, it was sort of the era of Amy Winehouse and Mark's first record. And we were sort of the baby of that that little crew.
Yeah.
And I saw where it was going. And, you know, we played Lily Allen's first US tour with her. And that was really fun. But I just always felt like I was being a little insincere. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't quite fit. And when I met my son's father, I just sort of... It was like a quick escape. It was just a way out.
Yeah. And then, that's interesting, because thinking about Amy and even Lily Allen, my impression of her back then is those were women that weren't necessarily trying to fit into something.
Right.
No.
You know?
Well, they were writing their songs.
Got it.
And
yeah.
That was sense. More like I was writing with this guy, Jordan, but really more just, you know, the front woman.
Right.
Where
right.
Amy and Lily were writing their own stuff. And that it had been like a very long relationship with Mark. I think they like development and just
totally.
They were breaking the year that we were just starting.
Yeah.
So it was also like our just the timing was weird, and we were sort of put to the the bottom of the barrel. When it came to it.
Yeah.
You know. So I just sort of I just decided that it was time for me to take a break from that, but not necessarily playing music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got pregnant, and I was like, oh, okay, now I'm gonna take a real break. Although I did play a washboard on like a 9-month pregnant belly.
Did
which
you?
Was really funny, awesome. Which is why I'm convinced my son is like a crazy person. Just having like,
yeah, that would sound really
metal
intense.
Through the womb. Like, yeah, he loves loud music, like loud anything. He falls asleep the louder the music,
really?
The more soothed he becomes.
Well, that's perfect for a New York City baby.
Yeah. He loves his city.
Yeah. So when you moved down there, it didn't feel like you were giving up on the dream. It was just reprioritizing and shifting.
Yeah. You're young, like what, 21?
At that point, I was 25 when I had my son. So I was 23 when I met his dad and in Virginia for like a year.
Okay.
Like back and forth.
So you never needed to say to yourself, what would I want to do alternately than music? That was never...
No, because it sort of found me, like, I never had a plan B other than music. I used to teach gyrotonic, which is like Pilates. Like I was always sort of into wellness and healing and like body work, but I never saw myself making it a career. I was really into babies and really into pregnant women since I was a kid. I was always very protective and very tuned into like the pregnant belly.
Where do you think that came from?
No idea.
Yeah.
Just like really, and told myself one day that I would maybe go to midwifery school.
Oh.
But then I had my son and realized like the process was very, just so intense and life changing. And I thought I would want to see other women giving birth before I went to school for it. And so a friend of mine who was a doula said, you should try this. Like, it's a great, you know, it's by no means a hobby. but it makes sense for you because you seem to have these lulls in your life, mm-hmm. where like friends of mine in huge bands would come off tour and like go work at a coffee shop.
Right.
I'm like, you're in that band, yeah. and you just made my cappuccino, and I don't understand why right. you're here.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's also like getting back into your community as well, and like just, I don't know, grounding after tour. Uh-huh. Like, and so for me to try it, I did. I went to a few births, and music wasn't really at the forefront of my mind. I was just like trying it, and it just took over.
Yeah. What year was this about?
2010.
Okay.
And were you living in Brooklyn then? 2009. My son was 6 months old.
Okay.
So I was in Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine you had a doula for your own.
I didn't. But you had a midwife? Sort of why, yes, I had a midwife.
And that's when you were like, I wish I had had a doula.
I had an assistant, and a midwife's assistant is someone who assists the midwife.
Right.
But she's not really there to sort of go like forehead to forehead with me, mm-hmm. which is like what a doula is really for the laboring person, mm-hmm. Not for...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The midwife. And so the assistant was there, but she just didn't know how to connect to me, and she didn't have the best touch, and she was going through stuff. I could feel like she was going through stuff in her own life. And I had a small apartment. You could feel everything, and like pregnant women are like superheroes. Like, they feel... like really everything in the room. They smell everything as well, which is crazy. So you smell, you wear real deodorant to a birth or you'll be in trouble. Uh-huh.
Not the organic stuff.
Not, no, like crystals right. under the art. No.
The mother's like, you're wearing Toms.
Yeah, just get out of here, leave. So she was wonderful as a medical student. But she wasn't there for me, and I felt that gap in the care. Mm-hmm. I think it was really the reason why I went so gung-ho into the work, because I really wanted to be like what I didn't have.
Yeah.
And I wasn't very close to my mom at the time, and so I didn't have that. And I find a lot of people aren't close to their moms mm-hmm. or don't have that. Maybe back in the day it was like grandmothers and aunts mm-hmm. and sisters attending births, but it's always women.
Yeah. I want to ask you about... something that you said in a video that I saw you in once. You said that you come from a family of narcissistic women.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say it doesn't sound like you are terribly narcissistic in terms of when you're talking about what you do mm-hmm. as a doula mm-hmm. and what inspired you to do that. But maybe you are. Maybe that's somehow an important part of it.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'm a narcissist.
Okay.
I really don't. I think I've really investigated it too. Yeah. Like, I've gone to therapy, and I'm sort of like, how did I dodge this bullet? Uh-huh.
Like, although I think most artists are inherently a bit narcissistic.
Well,
I think
I've always struggled to be an artist only. Like, that's my thing is I've always sort of gone, I've seen the dark side of the narcissist, of the artist, and then the children come second, and the partner comes third, mm-hmm. and you know, when it's just about your career and your schedule and everything else is like a detail, how damaging that is. And there are so few artists, whether it be actors or musicians, that I really respect their lifestyle, like the way they've handled their lives in the public eye, and mm-hmm. like the order they've sort of done things in. And I think I've always been very nervous about messing with the order of my life, you know, right. And sort of like, even now my manager will, she will amen this. I like struggle with the idea of going on tour.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's 8. I can't leave him. You know, like, can I bring him with me? Like, maybe, but that's not going to make me like a really hot ticket. You know, like, we got to wait till spring break, like spring break or Christmas break. Or...
Yeah. And how does that sound to you when they say hot ticket? Are you like, I don't care?
I've never really cared. I mean, that's the problem.
That's a struggle then.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I want to just like, well, when I was a kid, I would, my mom would ask me to sing because she thought I had a good voice. And I would turn my back or go hide in the bathroom, close the door, and then I would sing. Oh, like, yeah? She'd ask me to sing to, like, at the dinner party or, like, friends who would come over.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was horrible. I hated it. But I loved singing.
Yeah.
I just couldn't.
And you did choose to go to school for it. Like, you were pursuing it as a kid.
Yeah. I love that I could go to school and sing all day instead of take math. And I ended up going to LaGuardia, where I had to do academics and my major, and I ended up getting kicked out in junior year because I was failing in everything, but doing really well in music, but flunking everything else.
Was that around the time when Mark Ronson swooped you up?
No, Mark.
Was before.
Mark.
That would have been good timing.
That would have been, yeah.
Kicked out of school the next day, yeah. Mark Ronson just
No, yeah, that would have been great. What happened? Mark saw me play at pianos. Right when pianos opened, with my friend Jordan, and it was Domino, the band, uh-huh. And before that I had played like places like Joe's Pub and like the Bitter
Joe's Pub
End
is a
or something.
Great venue. Yeah.
Joe's Pub was great. Yeah. I played it when I was 16.
Yeah,
it's very fancy for 16.
I know, it was really like a thing.
So it was a duo.
No, Joe's Pub was a band I got together just to play my songs, like hired guys.
So you were writing at 16.
Yeah.
Had your own band.
Yeah, and then someone was interested in me through that show. I think his name was, what was his name? Mm-hmm. He did like all the Chaka Khan records, and he's like an 80s producer. Anyway, he loved my voice, and him and his wife signed me to their little label, and were like sending cars to pick me up from my mom's house. And I remember feeling like, ugh.
It
so
didn't
weird.
Feel good even
no,
then.
I'm like, I'll walk there, thanks. I don't know why. I just have a problem with, I don't know, a lot of attention.
Yeah. How did your parents feel about that?
They loved it.
Yeah?
I have those I have those parents that would love me to be well known for my art.
Uh-huh.
They don't care that. They didn't care that I didn't get like great grades in school. Or it was really about sort of being seen.
Because they knew that, or they felt that art was your thing.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
But that's what parents do. They're like, oh, that my son or my daughter is really good at that
thing. But that's
so you're going to do that thing for the rest of your life.
That's
only
very
if they
fortunate.
Like that thing that they're
right,
good at.
Exactly. Normally
that's
it's like,
true.
How are you going to make a living at that, even though you're great at it?
Yeah.
Like, how do they feel about you being a doula?
For the first, like, 3 years, they thought it was very, you know, honorable and like sort of, my dad was very proud. Once my dad came to my office and he saw all the baby's pictures on the walls of that I'd been there for. And he said, this is better than any platinum record or any gold record or whatever. And I was like crying, obviously. I was like, you see me? and then awesome. My mom, she's going to hate this and she'll never hear this, but it's fine. Maybe.
I'm going to email it to her.
She struggled. The New York Times did an article on doulas and I was featured. Uh-huh. And that's when she started liking.
Really?
What I did. Or being proud of it,
no,
or understanding
I get that.
It. You know, she before that, she was like...
The world you know is the world you want your child
exactly.
to be.
And I don't... Of. It's just, you know, I'm sort of trying to carve out a different path, you know, for my son. As like, I see that he's good at all these things, but I'm not going to sort of... you know, give him that role to play, you
right.
know?
Totally. Well, were you actually on tour with your dad? Like, would you be on the tour bus and...
Only, like, in the summers. I love them because the tour buses have those little bunks. Mm-hmm. And they, like, fit me. I was like, ooh, this is, like...
Yeah, they're made for children more than for adults.
Right.
And then I imagined him sleeping in those bunks, and I was just like, whoa, like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Like, for months on end.
Right. But like would you be alone on tour with him, or was your, did you have your sisters there and your mom? And
he would like take a different kid, like depending on our holiday.
Yeah.
It was like a lucky thing.
Yeah. It was really fun. I mean, also Bad Company and Free, like, well, Free was before my time, but going to a Bad Company show in America, it's like, it's so full on. It's like mullets and Budweiser hairy backs. And like,
it's, I don't feel like a foreign country.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, you know, but so fun to see my dad up there. And, yeah.
But the glamour part of it didn't entice you. You didn't say, oh, I want to be on this giant stage and having these adoring fans and all of that wasn't part of it.
No. Yeah,
your if parents... anything, it was tough because touring took my dad away.
Right.
So okay. I would go on tour and be like, "This is what you leave us for." It's just like screaming fans. Like, I'll scream at you. Like, what do you need? You know. But you tell that to. Like, I was going on tour at like 10.
Yeah.
And my brain just couldn't like absorb like, you know, his two worlds.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean.
I'm sure it has an effect on how I view touring today.
Well, you and from what I understand of Jemima, I don't know about Lola as much, but at least you two definitely seem like reluctant stars, you know, and that's always Jemima's story is like she got pulled into doing girls and she never wanted to act. And I know she's an artist, an amazing artist, and that seemed like more of a choice that she's made in her life.
Definitely.
But you guys did this amazing job of receiving the gifts from your parents without like misunderstanding what to do with that, you know?
Yeah.
So they at least did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Okay. So how do you feel about the new album? Are you feeling reluctant about that?
No, I'm so excited. It's the first record I've finished. I always did, as I said, EPs and sort of didn't have time, didn't know how to fit this sort of thing into my life.
How many songs on it?
It's 11 songs. Okay. So yeah, it feels really good. I and Carriage House, my Doula Collective, Carriage House Birth, is at a place where I can leave it now.
Yeah.
So it feels like the timing's great. And I'm really proud of the songs, like the people I wrote with, Luke Temple, who's playing with us today. And Joan Wasser was like a very big influence on me and happened to be like a great friend. So writing this record with them was like such a privilege.
Yeah, and you got to stay local, right?
Yep, we did it in Hudson and in Hudson's Prospect Park. Yeah,
nice, amazing. Are you ready to be vulnerable on stage again? And
yes,
you'll
definitely
be ready.
But
now you just have to be older. You don't have to be anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. And the songs really feel like they carry me. Like before, I felt like I had to sort of put it on, and this just feels like, you know. Very intimate and
I read you describe the difference between sort of being a doula, which is like this act of service and giving, and being a musician, which is more of an act of selfishness. And I think that's like a perpetual kind of struggle for an artist where, you know, you want to be doing this thing. How much is it a service to people? Because I think different artists have different feelings about like, oh, well, I'm giving something that's going to be healing or, you know, somehow a gift in different ways, but it's hard to reckon with that because you're really,
I mean,
it's a narcissistic act to,
I talked to my husband about this, Penn. He was on Gossip Girl, and sometimes people pull him aside and say, you don't understand, like Gossip Girl got me through the hard times. I'm like, how did Gossip Girl get anyone through any hard times? And he said,
comfort food.
Like he'll say, he said he met a woman once on the train or something. She said, I was in law school and studying, or she was a doctor in medical school, and the like she would put on Gossip Girl and it would like calm her down or like space, like open up her, like create space in her brain that she could like breathe and like get back to where she, you know, where she really was, instead of all this studying and just feeling constantly overwhelmed. And she thanked him, and he like didn't know what to do with it. He was like, he's so used to people just wanting a photograph or a selfie or like people like walking with their husbands and then just grabbing Penn and being like, take a picture with me. So he felt, and he said that's similar to like, you know, what I sort of struggle with music. Like, I'm just playing songs. Like, what is that really doing for anyone, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I think when the songs are coming from that place, it, you know, in you, that where you feel like it is an act of service, like I'm telling you a story that I, you know, maybe I got through something, or maybe my voice has an effect on you in some way and maybe takes you out of your life for a minute. Like that is, it is an act of service. And that's something I'm sort of getting more used to feeling and thinking about music.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah.
And right. Your voice does.
So I can do
that.
It more.
Oh. Yeah. It really. And your lyrics and the entire. I mean, it's completely stripped down. It's like you and guitar and what else is there?
It's a lot of stuff in there, but it's very minimal.
It's like
minimal.
A lot of ambient. It's very minimal and super soothing.
Thank you.
And then at the same time, I want to like focus in and listen to the lyrics. And especially, you know, I imagine it's a lot of stories about this.
Yeah.
I mean, the experience that you're going through as a doula must be the most fertile place, pun intended. Yeah. To,
I think that was intended. Yeah,
to fertile ground for songwriting. I mean, it's like
I wrote
the entire universe.
Luke and I wrote, like, he told me I lost my grandparents like 1 year after the next, and lots of loss in my life in the past 5 years. And Luke was like, just write down, like, just write essays about your life and your grandfather passing and who he was, and just write and send me what you write. And I just sent him just almost journal entries, and then he sort of sifted through, and he'd arrange songs like a format out of what I sent him, and then we'd meet up and come up with melodies. And so it was a very like cathartic it was awesome. I mean, it literally, he took journal and like pages out of my journal and made them into songs. And
the
like,
best to have a partner that you can work with in that way.
The fact that I get to play with him today is such a treat. It's just such a treat.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful. I put it on this weekend to listen to and think about this podcast, and I was gonna multitask and do both those things, and then I ended up just putting down my laptop and I just laid on my couch and listened to the album. I was like, this is really nice.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so Beyond Waves is what it's called, if we haven't said that this whole time. Out August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. Check it out when it comes out. And you're doing a Facebook Live performance.
Yes.
So you guys can see that on our Facebook page. And this podcast will be on YouTube. Well, that's where you're watching it right now if you're watching us. But if you're just listening to it, you can also watch it on YouTube. All right, Domino, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The sun, I'd always burn the toast. Beyond waves. Beyond waves of the future. Beyond waves. Killing you.